when Whippoorwill calls, and even if night, I hurry to my blue heaven. You turn to the right, you find a little bright light that leads you to my blue heaven. You find a cozy place, my place, cozy room.
Welcome once more to our blue heaven as it stands. My guest today, I'm very honoured to have, from all the way from Cambridge. I'd like to say he came all the way from Cambridge today. He didn't. He's just moved from Cambridge. The Cambridge Statman himself. I'm going to set up a battle between the Ipswich Statman and the Cambridge Statman soon. Mr. Chris Rand, how are you, Chris?
I'm fine, Graham. I think now I'm Ipswich Statman number two, and definitely
you will.
Definitely yeah. The junior member of the pairing.
How's life in Ipswich for you?
I'm really enjoying it. Got a house right by Christchurch Park, so it's a lovely stroll over to the Greyhound and down to the ground.
The Greyhound, the Arboretum, and the Woolpack.
Yes,
you've got some really nice pubs
absolutely
there.
Absolutely discovered the Woolpack, and that's really good, isn't
have
it?
Have you discovered the Arboretum or
I
the Arbor House?
No.
Only about 100 yards from the Greyhound.
Superb. Looking forward to that as well, then.
Yes. It's one of my favourite pubs, actually.
Nice.
Nice, yes. In our radio voices. Well, Chris, where do we start? I mean, there's all sorts. It's just going crazy now, isn't it? We're hitting the end of the season. Big games coming up, especially that there's a big one from that lot up the road, which we don't like to talk about. But shall we start off with the women? You went to the women's game, didn't you?
Yeah, we've got some. When you asked me on this week, I thought, oh, great, thanks a lot, Graham. You know, the one week we haven't got any football to talk about.
Yeah, we got so much.
Then it occurred to me, the women's game, which I didn't realise was going to be, you know, quite as noteworthy as it was.
10,000.
Yeah, we've got. Then we've also got the investment and the accounts to talk about. We've got, as well as all the upcoming stuff. So that's brilliant. But yeah, the women's game, wasn't it great? Really, really enjoyed it, and the club did a fantastic job. It was the third highest attendance at a football match in the country.
Really,
after the England game at Wembley. And the women's game at the Manchester Derby, which is about 40,000. And then you go all the way down to a women's game in the third tier of the women's game. Was the only other game to get over 10,000. I mean, there were big games in League 1 and 2. Notts County got just over 9,000. And I think Chesterfield got 9,000 for their promotion party. But yeah, would you believe the third highest attendance in the whole of the country?
It's going quite
astonishing.
Well, the whole town's a bit bonkers at the moment, isn't it? It's crazy.
It was so nice that people could get in to see, you know, who can't get tickets. Obviously, there were loads that were interested in seeing the women's match, and wonderful to see some, you know, so many young people there as well. But you know, gave people a chance to go to Portman Road who can't normally go as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and the football was great.
My only complaint was that I couldn't bring the dog.
Oh,
when we watched them in Felixstowe, you can take the dog.
I hadn't thought of that.
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
He didn't complain too much, but still.
But yeah, the whole day was done really, really well. The only dampener, almost literally, was the fact that the heavens opened at half time.
Well, didn't Mark Ashton say it was snowing when he was talking?
There was definitely hail came down. We were standing and I was looking at the burger van over on the fan zone, looking rather forlorn, thinking, oh, they didn't need that.
No, at the end of the first half, it was getting quite dark and the lights weren't on.
We wondered whether we were going to get to the end of the game and without the lights and they'd abandon it or something, but no. Super job. Yeah, hats off to the club. I think I saw Mark Ashton there. You know, did his normal thing, handing out sweets to the kids beforehand, and he seemed to be loving it. And he had Harry Clark sitting next to him, and several players, I think, you know, came along, which was really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, superb.
No, that was good. And of course, the other big news of the week was new investment.
Yeah, the investment's really interesting.
I'm just going to go off and have a pint and leave you with Chris, who'll just fill you in on every single detail.
The daft thing is, because, you know, I've run a company and I'm a company director as well, even now. People think, oh, Chris will know all about this sort of stuff. I know nothing about it. I always get people in to do that kind of stuff. The investment thing was obviously big news. Let's not, you know, rabbit on about it too much. I thought it was quite amusing. It's very complicated stuff, and at least one of the podcasts, which will remain unnamed, you know, sort of said, yes, we'll certainly need a few days to look into this and to see the actual implications of it all. What they were really saying is, we have no idea what's going on.
No.
But, there's a bunch more money coming in. It should fund the club for the next 5 years on the sort of a day-to-day basis. And we can talk about the accounts, which is another story in a minute. A new investment group from the States. People have mentioned it's a private equity group, and people get very scared about private equity, but that doesn't mean much. I mean, private equity can be in it for the long term. It's not like some sort of a, you know, asset stripping hedge fund or something. You know, these are guys that want to invest in sport long terms, and you know, there's no way the pension fund, the original funder, which is still putting more money in, you know, would be allowing you know, anyone
dodgy
in that wasn't
in.
So so I'm absolutely confident that it's a terrific and a very sound investment, and you know, I think it should be good. And I'm really impressed also about the sort of transparency surrounding the whole thing. You know, that 45 minute video that they publish, you know, with talking to everyone who is interested. We appear to have a bit of a rearrangement at the top of the club. So the Game Changer 20, which is kind of the group that now controls the club, has a new board with 8 people on it. So a couple have dropped off and some have come on. I wasn't even sure whether Mark Ashton was on it before, but he is now anyway. And there's Ed Schwartz from the pension fund, Brett Johnson from Three Lions, Tom Ball, who's the Ipswich financial officer, and Mike O'Leary, the chairman, who, quite frankly, when you listen to Mike O'Leary, you just think all is right with the world.
I know, he's got that calm, nothing to worry about, lads.
There's also Luke Wareham, who's the chief operating officer now at Ipswich. He's been a guy who's been promoted a couple of times and is obviously a real, you know, integral part of the club now. And then Jake Zarno from Bright Path in America, who are investment and investors, and Sam Simon from Simon Sports. So there's that. Then there's a new board which runs the club on a day-to-day basis, and it looks like Burke Bakai from Game Changer, or Three Lions rather, has moved on to that. So he's going to be more involved on this day-to-day basis one rather than the overall board.
We did. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but we did actually meet him, didn't we, in the Greyhound of all places?
We did. Yes. We met a couple of them over the times, haven't we, in the Greyhound? Yeah. Well played.
We shouldn't keep advertising the Greyhound. It gets full enough on match days already, doesn't it? So anyway,
if I remember rightly, you and I were too nervous to go and talk to him. But
yeah, you boldly went where no man had gone before, though, didn't you?
Not sure. Anyway, but they were great. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think we're in good hands, and that all that investment stuff is great news. Also worth talking about the accounts, which came out last week. Now, that does sound boring, I know, but really it isn't. There's a tremendous analysis online by Chris. It wasn't me on Twitter, but I think it's Chris Weatherspoon from the Wise Men Say podcast, which is a Sunderland podcast. I think he's the guy who's done it, but he's analysed all the accounts, and it's really interesting because when they say things like, oh, you know, the club lost £18.2 million last year. I don't know about you, but to me, I don't know. Is that good? Is that bad? It's like, oh, what does that mean? But he's kind of put these things in context. Our £18.2 million loss last year was the biggest in League One by miles. I mean, the next biggest was Derby at £10 million loss. So we really did spend big last year. People perhaps don't realise that. We spent £6.5 million on transfer fees. It's the highest in League One history. So if there's people at Ipswich bought promotion, they've got an argument, to be honest. But that said, other figures there show that, you know, playing costs, well, the wages were huge and that we spent, but our playing costs were only 58% of our income, which is, you know, amazing. So it's, you know, this was all funded by additional income, by all the shirt sales and the ticket sales and everything like that. So yeah, we spent big, but we funded it ourselves. This wasn't some you know, sugar daddy coming in and just throwing loads of money against the wall. You know, this is a club that's kind of really going places and is funding it as it goes along. So you know, people can say we spent our way to promotion, but it was our money that we made. It's the fan base provided it, you know, which was terrific.
Absolutely.
I think we're, and he also said that we're only the fourth club ever to make more than £20 million in income in the third tier in a year, without, which is, you know, and when you think of Sunderland, Leeds have been down there, they're amongst those four, you know, we're up with that sort of level. So it really is, you know, quite something. So the accounts are fascinating. And if you can dig out the Twitter thread by a guy called Chris, it's really worth following. It's long, but it just puts everything in context. And I suppose the overall thing we can take from it is, you know, in terms of financial fair play and all that sort of thing, you know, we're all well in control, which is great. Yeah, we're spending lots of money, but they know what they're doing. They're investing in the club big time, as we know, you know, the training ground and everything. And yeah, it's all good.
Or blue heaven, so to speak. Exactly. Amazing stuff. Shall we look at what, talking of Twitter, what's come in and so on and so forth? Right. These are as they came in, as per usual. Well, after last night, I now fear losing in the playoffs on penalties. Oh, he's talking about the internationals, of course, last night. This is Alex. Hello, Alex. My dodgy memory can only remember one shootout. That was the loss to Chelsea in the League Cup. Can the panel remember any others? Greetings, GB, and greetings, CR. Thank you, Alex. That's Alex Morton on Twitter, at Alex Morton. That's quite an easy one. Cheers, mate. Thoughts, Chris? I don't remember.
Well,
I barely remember games from last week.
I know what you mean. Thank you, Alex, for putting the question in nice and early, which gave me a chance to go and look it up. Actually, the stuff online is not brilliant on penalty shootouts. If you go onto the Transfermarkt website, it looks very sort of confident presentation of all the penalty shootouts we've been in, but then again it misses out the only one that Alex mentions for against Chelsea, which did happen. So I think we've been involved in, would you believe, 15 penalty shootouts. I don't remember more than a couple like you, Graham, but I've found records of about 13 of those, but there's definitely some missing. And again, this is where we need, you know, Big Daddy Statman to come in and tell us what they should be. The first one I'm pretty certain was, I'm not going to go through them all, don't worry, but the first one I'm pretty certain was 73-74, so forgive me, I was still at primary school. Quarterfinals of UEFA Cup against Lokomotiv Leipzig.
Oh yes. Yes, there's a classic, or there was, I'm sure, I wish I'd kept it, but you don't in those days, a classic picture of Kevin Beattie and Alan Hunter sitting in the dugout during the penalty shootout, smoking fags.
Fantastic. and the second one, again, so I'm not going to go through them all, but the second one was the most famous of all, 77-78, again, at UEFA Cup, because it was the only thing doing penalty shootouts at this time. Last 16 against Barcelona. So that was the Johan Cruyff Barcelona, where they came to Portman Road in the first leg and of course got hammered, because everyone does at Portman Road, and we beat Barcelona 3-0.
And Roger Osborne still has Johan Cruyff in his pocket, apparently.
He still does. And reports at the time said Ipswich cruised into the last eight, obviously by beating Barcelona 3-0. Oh, how wrong they were. Yes. We went over there and Cruyff stuck a couple past us, and then we gave away a penalty in the 87th minute, which Barcelona converted, and we ended up, the whole match went to penalties.
I've had Roger on the show before. I actually talked to him about that, and he said the second leg, you know, 3-0 up, they were going there reasonably confident. He said, but once Barcelona scored, and then again, he said, because the stadium was almost empty.
Yeah.
So by the end of the game, it was full.
I had to look, packed. It was 24,000. We had 33 at the home leg at Ipswich, and then 24,000 in the new
but
camp.
But apparently there was even less than that when it started.
Oh,
but
fantastic.
By the end, it had just built up.
So, Brian Talbot missed the penalty. Colin Vilger missed a penalty. Here's a name you might have forgotten, but the only one we scored, Les Tibbert scored.
Oh, my Lord, yeah.
I know. And then Clive Woods missed a penalty, so they didn't even have to take their fifth one. So that was a disaster. And then I can't even find one we've won until 2019, which means we could have, I think we lost the first 11 penalty shootouts we ever took part in. So you talk about England being bad,
we're awful at penalty shootouts. Absolutely.
Just awful. And then we beat Peterborough EFL Trophy in 2019-20. We beat Colchester 21-22. We lost to Arsenal kids on penalties in 21-22, and then beat Reading this year.
Do the playoffs go to penalties if the final?
They do.
Oh, my Lord. Well, okay. It's been a good season anyway. Let's hope
it's been great
better next season.
not great on pen. But that said, I think we may have won 3 of the last 4 penalty shootouts we've been in. So maybe we've turned the corner now, and the modern day Ipswich team is not the one smoking fags in the dugout that we used to have.
I suppose when you're as old as us, you're just expecting the worst of every single moment of the game. This is from Paul. Thank you, Alex. This is from Paul Westlake. Hi, Chris and GB. With Wes out for the season. See, I didn't know this, but I've assumed it. Is it official that he's out for the season?
He's out for weeks, it said, when there are any weeks left in the season. But it doesn't. There's no news that he's going to need surgery yet. So, you know. Fingers crossed he'll recover from it, but I think we can forget about him for the season.
Yeah, he's not going to come back match fit either, is
no,
it,
which is, I guess, well, I mean, what's the question, but I think we can...
Sorry, with Wes out for the season, who will be our Royce-like playoff final hero to take us into the Premiership? See you at the Greyhound before Southampton. Oh, God, yes.
Afternoon, all afternoon in the Greyhound. Should we turn up at 11 o'clock as normal and then just go right through till about 5? So
thank you, Paul.
Yeah, I guess we've got... Hutchison, Caden Jackson and Connor Chaplin to cover 2 positions on the right, which, you know, is 3 great players. I've been really impressed with Jackson this season, I have to say. He's stepped up yet again, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think, he's best. I still think, you know, he's best running at players that are knackered, so to
which
speak.
Is perfect. You know, so it does mean Hutchison will have to be moved out to Burns' position, which, you know, it's a shame because he looked really good in Chaplin's position.
He did. But there's Sarmiento as well, though, isn't there? You can add to the mix.
You could. Yeah, I think they're looking at him really for the other side to mix with Broadhead. So we'll see. But who's going to step up? Well, that's a great question, isn't it? Could it be someone? Absolutely, you know, left field to step up. I don't know. Travis or someone like that.
Was left field a pun?
Yeah.
Right field.
Or a last minute winning goal at Wembley from Dom Ball or someone. That'd be great, wouldn't it? someone who's people who've not really played. But I'd love to see someone like, you know, Caden Jackson just step up and didn't he make a difference at the end of the season
a Richard Naylor type in the playoff. You know, he wasn't the world's greatest, but he had a hell of a game then, didn't he?
Didn't he? Yeah. And I think we're going to, I mean, we might, for instance, we're going to see against Blackburn, I don't think Burgess is going to be back in time from Australia, so, you know, Fridge will probably be playing in that one. So, you know, there's another player who's only played a bit part who, you know, still potential heroics to come, you never know.
Worry. Slower Ball. Good evening, Grandad. Good evening, Randad. Yeah, you have to have a pause here after his first line. Thank you. Heartache for the 2 Welsh lads last night. Surely going out on penalties is an England thing. No, it's not. As you just heard from Chris, it's an Ipswich thing as well. All the stats seem to suggest a win for us at Ewood Park, but from memory, I don't recall it being a particularly happy hunting ground for us. Chris, do you have the stats? Pause. Come on then, Chris. Where are they?
No.
Oh, Chris.
The answer to that. Well, I don't think it has been. Not from memory. It's not.
No.
Those Northwest teams like that. I mean, you know, take Preston this season. You know, just that was grim. You know, so we can. But then again, you know,
West. That's Birmingham. So
Barnsley last season. That different. So you never know. I do worry a bit about this. You know, this Blackburn game. They're a team that can. So unpredictable, aren't they? Yeah. I can actually. Almost, you know, see at home to Southampton on Monday, you know, pulling it off and you know, getting some sort of remarkable scoreline. But Blackburn's one of those ones that you can just slip up on
you
so
can expect
easily.
Ipswich to mess up the so-called easy game and win the hard one. But
I know. But I don't know. Oh, let's see. You know.
Okay. Goes on. Hoping we do what we need to do to finish in the top 2. Oh, there's a bit of alliteration or poetry there. Albeit the results of Leicester and Leeds need to go in our favour. Would the panel rather finish 7th or get beaten in the playoffs by Norwich? Why did you have to bring it up, Sir Ball? There's no need. We're all stressed about
that. We're all talking about that. Look, whilst it's likely, you know, the likeliest position for Ipswich to finish at the moment statistically is 3rd, of course it is, and the likeliest position for Norwich to finish is 6th. That said, if you think about it, the chances of us finish third are maybe 50% at best. The chances of them finishing sixth are probably even less, probably 40%.
Oh, I don't know. I think they're...
Don't forget they can also finish fifth and seventh and eighth, you know. So the chance of them actually finishing in that exact position.
Yeah.
So 50% chance of us finishing third, 40% chance of them finishing sixth. That to me makes 20% chance of that match happening. That's only a 1 in 5 chance, you know. So it might be the most likely of the playoffs, but it's still, there are a lot of other possibilities. I wouldn't worry too much. Don't have any sleepless nights over it yet, Graham.
Well, that's why I have to drink too much, because otherwise I will have sleepless nights. Although I spend every 2 hours waking up to go to the toilet. And he's put another line, 105 million, yes please. Is that the investment we're
that's
talking
the
about?
Investment, yeah. Yeah. That's apparently got to cover us for 5 years, though. So, yeah, let's see.
And he finishes with, good day to you. Keep smiling. God bless Klaus Thompson.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Terrific player.
Danish player, wasn't he?
Mm.
What other news? You got any other news for us, Chris, while you're here? You seemed reamed up, as they say.
I brought some stuff. Goals is something I wanted to talk about. If we got a chance, which we have.
What are you talking about? The little playing field down the road?
No, goals go in at both ends. Both Ipswich and Southampton are both on target this season to have 150 goals in their matches.
Oh Lord, it's crazy, isn't it?
I mean, in 46 matches, quick bit of maths, that's over 3 goals a game. That rarely happens. I think it's only happened a few times ever. And we've got 2 teams in the same season heading in that direction. I mean, it's not surprising Sky want to put us on telly all the time, because, you know, when you're averaging 3 goals a game, because Sky don't care which end the goals go in, we do, but they don't. They just, and it's fabulous. So, that's just something that I think is overlooked at the moment, the sheer number of aggregate goals going in at both ends in town games. I mean, it really is, particularly Portman Road, of course, which I probably should look at just the home matches, because that's where they've mainly been going in.
Yeah.
We must be breaking records in terms of combined goals for and against. If you want to see the back of the net bulge, you know, what a place for the neutral. Shame there's no spare tickets for neutrals.
I was going to bring up if we had time, which we do, but just a bit, the season ticket thing, whereby you can sell your season ticket on a match day if you can't use it yourself. Do you not think this could just mean that no one will ever be able to buy a season ticket, because you just hang on to your season ticket, wouldn't you? Even if you moved away, you'd think, well, I can just sell it every week.
Yeah, and that happens at other clubs. I mean, when we were in the Premier League, I got tickets for Old Trafford both seasons. From a guy that hadn't been for years, who ran a system where he kept his season ticket, sold it every week, and the deal was that you could buy it at face value, but you had to pass it on to the next person. He would send it who it is, you know. And I remember one of the years coming back from Old Trafford, and the next person I had to pass it on from was in Lincoln, and actually detoured to Lincoln on the way home and dropped it off at the house and this is how this ticket went round, and apparently the system worked fine. Is that a good thing? I probably not, because there was me sitting up there with all the Manchester United supporters. I was a Ipswich supporter, but I looked around at the time, and don't forget this is over 20 years time, and they were all Chinese tourists and things all sitting around me. Guy next to me actually nudged me about 20 minutes into the game and said, I reckon you're an Ipswich supporter, aren't you? And he went, and I said, yeah, I am. Yeah, he said, don't worry, I'm a Huddersfield supporter. I just come along to see how Marcus Stewart's getting on.
Oh, my Lord. God.
So there were no United supporters around at all. No. You don't want that sort of thing happening. The club are going to have to, do something like that. But if you're having to sell the ticket through the club, they know how many times you're selling it.
Hmm.
So, they can easily, stop that anything untoward happening. So that's not a problem.
Okay, Chris. Well, bizarrely, we're just about out of time.
Oh, good grief.
You have 2 predictions. you're lucky. Most guests only have 1 prediction. You have 2 predictions
That's
to make.
That's true. Okay. Well, I'm not going to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, so I'm going to say we're going to squeak a win, a 2-1 win at Blackburn. And on Monday, we're absolutely going to pull all the stops out and beat Southampton 3-0.
Mr. Confident. I was going to... Who was it who predicted 7-0 on last week on the show? You see, my memory's so bad.
Not one bad, was it? One bad guess.
No, I would have taken him out for a meal had he got the prediction correct.
Yeah.
And a few beers, but he didn't, so I can't. That last sentence may have been a lie. Okay, so have you actually predicted scores, by the way, quickly?
Yes.
You did?
2-1 and 3-0.
2-1 and 3-0, my lord. Yeah, it might take you out in that case if that happens. Thank you, Chris.
Pleasure.
Hope to have you on again soon.
Yeah, love to.
We'll have the Battle of the Stat Men soon as well.
Oh, yeah, bring it on.
That would be fun.
I'll lose.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, that would be a good one, wouldn't it? Till next week, thank you, everyone, for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.